Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, fellas? What was the Rex Road rant today? I missed it.
He loves the college football playoff expanding to 12.
Yeah,
I hate it.
I ranted about how the 12-team playoff is awesome. I should have let you have the rant so you could complain about Izzo's coaching, I guess. Jeez, Izzo's out catching Twitter strays from Charles in the middle of the week.
Oh, goodness. Stray. You lose Elm to James Madison when you're the number 14 in the country. It's a stray now. Can't criticize Tom.
I mean, they're highly overrated, but we can talk about that another time. That team was never a top five team.
Oh, just beautiful.
Which, hence, once again, my point that he convinces the national media of this greatness, and I'm like, come on.
So what he's done, that's not a great coach resume.
Oh no! I said he was a great coach. Oh. I said he's a great coach, but I said he's not in the tier of Krzyzewski. He's just not. And everybody went off because they're like, Tom never said he's like, when did Tom try to convince anybody he was in the tier of Krzyzewski? I'm like, for the last, like, as long as you and I have been around that program till now, how many times has he talked about wanting to be in the class of, you know, mentioned in the Kentucky, all the blue blood teams, Kentucky, UNC, and Duke? I mean, like, I'm sorry, but if you keep saying that, you're trying to put yourself into a tier that you're just not part of. I'm sorry, you're not. Like, yeah. You're great. You're great. You are.
You're just mad about that one time he swore at you in 1999. It's fine.
Anyway, come on, let's move on.
So, Charles, the Boston Globe last Friday, Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, comes out with a piece talking about, you know, yeah, Belichick and the, you know, what could be the end of the line for him in New England, and mentions Mike Vrabel as, quote, a home run option that the Crafts would be interested in to replace Bill Belichick. Obviously, that would require a trade with the Titans, but what do you make of the Vrabel part of this, the interest potentially from Robert Kraft and the Patriots, and what it would cost for Amy Adams Strunk of the Titans to even consider pulling this off at some point?
I think there's truth to that. Absolutely. Like, I really think that, and again, I've said this before, I don't have this close personal relationship with Mike Vrabel. I don't. But I can tell you, particularly talking to people in New England and individuals that have come out of New England and ended up working elsewhere, I've had a number of conversations about Belichick and, like, what's going on there right now and the viability of him not being there next year and another coach. And you get around to the conversations about, you know, well, who would the candidates be? Like, who on earth would want to follow Belichick? And what everyone tells you is, like, look, it's a very Robert and Jonathan Kraft driven. It would be a very Robert and Jonathan Kraft driven list. And they would want someone that they have close familiarity with, that they know who the person is. They know what the person would bring to the table. Someone that is connected to that amount of success that they've had under Bill. And Mike's name comes up, you know. I will say this, people in the Patriots program, both inside and out, sure seem to think that Kraft is extremely enamored with Mike Vrabel and that they have a very close relationship. And they don't just talk about it from the Kraft end. They also talk about it from the end of Mike Vrabel knowing Robert Kraft. He would know his owner. And I think it's important when you look at, I'll give you an example, like what just happened with the Raiders unfolded with Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler there. And I think one of the things that they were probably a little surprised by was how instantaneously when they got in there, like Mark Davis was like almost a daily part of their process. Like it was the idea of trying to go where an owner can delegate and then not need to be like involved and reported to and all these things on a daily basis is important. And I think Mike would know that Robert Kraft, they know each other, they have the relationship, and he would know what he was getting into. And for Mike to not be in Tennessee, I think it would have to be a special situation. Like if you asked me, like, okay, if Mike's not going to be in Tennessee, how big is like the list of other NFL teams Mike might be interested in? I haven't told like two. Like, and I think one is absolutely the Patriots, but that doesn't mean Mike wants to leave Tennessee. It doesn't mean that this is, you know, there's something going on in the back burner right now. It just means that, hey, if the Patriots job opens, Robert Kraft knows Mike Vrabel as a person. He knows him as a player. He's obviously familiar with him as a coach from afar, but I think he knows the kind of guy he is, what he brings to the table, the kind of locker room he wants to keep. It's not like Bill O'Brien, doesn't talk to Robert Kraft about Mike Vrabel. I mean, it's just all, there's a lot of things aligned there that would make sense to me, especially from the standpoint of the Patriots pursuing Mike. Now, again, there's the other half of that equation. Just would Mike want that pursuit? Would Mike, that would entail a trade? You know, there's just a multitude of things that come into this, and he would be expensive. Like, he would be, there's no way you're the Titans, you give up Mike for, I mean, you're probably talking about definitely first round draft compensation. I'd say how much first round draft compensation. I'd want a couple first round picks from Mike if I were going to deal him, particularly to a team like the Patriots. And, yeah, I think, I mean, it would be a very expensive pursuit for New England, but I think Mike is probably one of the few people you could go out and hire and give him a 5-6 year contract and know that, yeah, he's probably going to have the program up and running, you know, in at least a couple of years once the roster is turned in the right direction. Also, Mike's a guy that I think the way it runs in New England right now, where the power, it flows from the coach outward everywhere in the organization. I think Mike is one of the few candidates that, you know, you could give that to, because again, you know, Mike's in Tennessee. I know everyone wants, you know, to debate like who's doing what, but it's an organization where Mike is at he's in the power seat. He's in the center of it. And it would be a similar situation in New England.
Yeah. So yeah, it's interesting stuff. So let me follow up with this. One, do you think Belichick's done? And two, if you were Amy Adams Strunk presented with that scenario, would you trade him away?
Well, Belichick, I mean, it's difficult for Kraft right now because he's in a scenario where there's no – I wrote about this earlier in the season about how there's just no real playbook here to – part company with someone like Belichick, who's got the record that he does, done so much for your franchise over decades and decades, and is so much a part of the fabric of who you are. And the only thing I guess I could really compare it to is when I look at what happened between Wayne Huizenga and Don Shula. And again, they didn't have the track record together that Robert and Bill do. But it got to the point where Wayne essentially told Don he knew what the response was going to be. Hey, you got to make some staff changes here. Like, some of these people on your staff have got to be fired. And it was people that Don, you know, was close to and had a lot of loyalty for. And Shula was just like, nope, I'm going to resign. Like, I'm going to retire. I'm done. I'm not going to do that. And so it was a force out by Wayne. And I think there's an element in New England where I wonder if Robert Kraft said, okay, you got to have like a GM here who reports directly to me. Okay, we're going to have to change some things personnel wise in terms of how the power structure works. And you're basically going to have a layer where if it's not someone above you, it's certainly someone alongside you that does not report to you, that reports directly to ownership. That I think would be a pretty significant change that I wonder if Belichick would be okay with. You know, once again, coaching staff changes, you know, the Matt Patricia thing. I don't think there's any doubt that Robert Kraft leaned into that was a mistake last year, this whole OC attempt. And we can't have that happening. And Matt's got to, you know, he's got to not be part of the staff. So I think from the standpoint of could Belichick not be there in 2024? Yeah. How would that look? I don't know. I think it's very delicate the way that Kraft would have to handle it. But yeah, I mean, I don't see Bill turning this around. I mean, they're the way they're struggling is very fundamental. And, you know, I think their record is probably going to be what it was last year, worse. And that's certainly something that Kraft has said repeatedly he's not okay with. And, so the pressure point is there. In terms of like the question with Amy, That all comes down to having a personal conversation between an owner and a coach, and knowing what does the coach want. And then, you know, if I think before you even get to the idea of compensation, you have to have, if there's the shared mutual respect between the two, you just have to know, what does your head coach want? Does your head coach want to be here? Does he want to continue on with this program? Does he want to continue on with the structure of the organization the way that it is? Are he and Rand functioning the way that, you know, works for both of them moving forward and for the owner? And, you know, do you believe in the quarterback? There's all these different questions you have to ask. And if Mike were to say, hey, you know, I think it's kind of run its course here, you know, no bad feelings, but maybe we can figure out a way to, you know, part company and it be okay. And I will say, that's sort of how it went with Sean Payton in New Orleans. Like, it wasn't like Sean, it was like all these burned bridges or problems. Like, I think it just got to the point where Sean felt like, hey, it's kind of run its course here. I think I'm ready for something new. He took the year off as sort of that gap year. But it was clear, especially, you know, after Breeze was done, that, like, Sean was open to maybe, you know, trying out something new, going to a different place. And so it's not unprecedented for things like that to happen. And I think once you get to that point, if you're Amy and you're Mike and you have that conversation, you know, then Amy turns to Rand and she says, okay, let's figure out what the draft compensation should be for a guy like this. And I'm telling you, I think you start the conversation with at least two first round picks on the table. I think that's how valuable Mike Vrabel is. He's a guy I think a lot of teams would consider, you know, firing their current head coaches for.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, continuing our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, Will Levis named the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. What do you think the future in this league looks like for Ryan Tannehill? Is he a starter next year? Is he a backup? What do you think it looks like for Tannehill as he moves forward here?
I would have to think that it's probably, at least initially, you're looking at a backup role for him. You know, you're probably putting him in a place where maybe there's either some familiarity between the coach or the personnel in another organization. I don't know if the Falcons, you know, if you're sitting there and you're the Falcons and you go, okay, we're going to look for another quarterback here, and we're going to be in a position to draft someone we really like, and we're pulling the rug on Desmond Ridder for good. You could do worse than have Tannehill coming in as someone who you trust to either be a bridge starter or at least be a really experienced backup who can help smooth out the process of weaning a rookie along. I don't, you know, Tannehill's got a place in the league. I don't think there's any question about that. If he, you know, as long as he's healthy, he's got plenty of experience. And it's interesting because the Jets and the Rams are two teams where I've talked to people like inside the teams that were like, I wish we would have done a better job of protecting ourselves with like a veteran, like the, you know, the Rams. I had somebody reach out and he was just like, why do you think we didn't add? Like, we knew that, you know, Stafford could have potential problems, you know, coming out of the elbow last year. And why didn't we add a piece, just a veteran guy that we could plug in and be ready if something like this happened? And I think the Jets kind of felt the same way with Zach. And then, you know, you get Trevor Siemian's there now, and you get Robert Saleh making this weird comment about, like, well, you know, why isn't Trevor Siemian starting? And he says, I don't, a good question, I'll take plead the fifth. And I'm like, what the heck? Yeah. That's like, that is not weird. Answer. Yeah, I'm like, holy cow. And by the way, it's a guy who knows what he's doing. Like, that's not like if Nathaniel Hackett had said, like, I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's just, like, Saleh knows what he's doing. So, to me, that's how I view Tannehill. I hear a lot of teams that are always looking for offensive line depth. And then when you get into the middle of a season, you just hear a lot about, like, hey, it'd be nice if we had a veteran who'd have been in the passing program in the offseason, someone who we could have, you know, paid what, $5 to $7 million, you know, for just to make sure we have a really good insurance option. That sounds like a lot, but if you, I think Tannehill is that level of backup in the league where he can make some good money, and he's going to go to a place where it's actually viable that he could end up starting some games at some stage. Like he's a better player than Josh McCown, but I think he's got this. He could have a sort of like Josh McCown run here to the end of his career, where he's a valuable piece, makes good money, and is a bridge in places where he's a useful player. So I'm definitely not done.
Brock Purdy, is he? How big is this next game for him?
I mean, Jacksonville on the road. He's had three in a row, where you know three losses in a row, but three losses where you could identify him being a part of the problem. I think it's a big deal. I do. And the thing about Kyle Shanahan is like he'll put a quarterback in the doghouse, even one that he loves, if things continue to go sideways. I bet he would start seeing, you know, how many after, you know, pile up a couple more losses, you know, a couple more, you know, games where Purdy's turning the ball over, which is what drives Kyle nuts. Kyle will talk himself into going, let's see, maybe Darnold's got something here. Let's see if, you know, we can take a look and Darnold becomes the answer to this. I don't think there's any guarantee that's Purdy's job in perpetuity if this is the last three games is suggestive of, and again, I don't know if this is the case, but like our team's starting to figure out some of the things that he does not so well. Is the Trent Williams injury really affecting the line so much so that it's changed the way Purdy's playing? You know, some of the, you know, Debo Samuel injury. I mean, it's enough of a slate of questions that I actually had a conversation with someone about Kirk Cousins. And I said, you know, okay, so Kirk has the ACL tear. If the timeline is Rodgers-esque, and when I say that, like let's say it's a really good, aggressive, like a Cam Akers 6-month kind of timeline, Kirk is versed in a Shanahan offense now. You know, like he actually got to the point where what I was told in Minnesota was they were so happy with Kirk because he was going to the line of scrimmage and he had three plays in his back pocket, like he, which is great, like in that offense. Like it gives you a lot of traction. There was a reason why Kirk was playing at such a high level because it took him basically that first year and into this season to fully grasp everything Kevin O'Connell was bringing to the table, which all stems as some iteration of that Shanahan offense. Well, guess which teams run the Shanahan offense? Shanahan runs it, and with the 49ers. The Rams run a version of the Shanahan offense, and they've got, you know, okay, what's going to happen with Stafford? The Green Bay Packers run a version of the Shanahan offense, and what's going on with their quarterback? And so you end up having conversations about Brock Purdy and Jordan Love and, you know, Stafford's health and where he wants to go. And I think, you know, it's viable that Kirk Cousins could be, maybe goes to San Francisco as a backup. And it's just, you know, biding your time until eventually Kyle goes, yeah, okay, we're going to go ahead and start that guy that I've always loved forever. So long story short, I mean, like it's important. There's no question. I think it would be really good for Brock Purdy if he was able to put together a good game against a Jacksonville team that has gotten after some quarterbacks as they've kind of been up and down, but they've been able to turn some quarterbacks over this season. Purdy can go in there and have a clean game and they can win. I think that rights the ship for him pretty quickly. But again, I don't, Kyle doesn't have a ton of patience. So if what's happened the last three games continues, I don't know that he's absolutely safe.
Well, Charles, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys.
Have Absolutely. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rextro. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators head coach Andrew Brunette, live from Winnipeg, as the Predators prepare to take on the Winnipeg Jets tonight. This is Robbie and Rextro, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.